take your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What we're going to be looking at in this session and the next is the most extensive discussion of what we might call abundant sharing in the New Testament. What God calls it is grace. And this is something that was introduced in 1 Corinthians, as we'll see in a second, that what God has given to us by His great grace, we are to return unto Him with hearts of thanksgiving, and that includes our finances. We described it earlier in this class as being a virtuous cycle, and that's exactly what it is, as we'll work through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that when you include God in your finances, that when you take a portion of your abundance and return it unto Him as a gift unto Him, as with a thankful heart, that God then multiplies that seed sown back unto your account, so it gets more and more virtuous. It gets bigger and bigger, more abundant. This is a wonderful section. I know that there have been people that I've encountered throughout the years who somehow think that the tithe has been ended because it ended with the law of Moses. Unfortunately, that's not true. The tithe preceded the law of Moses. It was first mentioned in the Bible of Abraham giving tithes unto Melchizedek. So it came long before the law. It was just simply formalized in the law. But then it continued in the gospel period. And this section in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, as well as Philippians chapter 4 and multiple references throughout the book of Acts, indicate its continuance in this administration. But here, the tithe or abundant sharing is referred to as grace. And isn't that wonderful? Because our whole administration is governed by the grace of God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit," or we want you to know, "of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." This is not bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, but bestowed by the churches of Macedonia. Paul wanted the believers at Corinth to know of how the believers of Macedonia had operated abundant sharing, and that's what this word grace here refers to. How they had given unto God the gifting from the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, this word affliction we've had quite a bit in Corinthians, it's the word meaning mental pressure or stress, how that in a great trial of stress, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, this word trial here is the word proving or the word experiencing. That in a great proving of stress. And, you know, this is one of the things that comes with being a believer, is that you encounter, like any human being does, stressful situations. But when rightly understood, those stressful situations are a time to prove God's word, to prove that God's word works, so that you experience the word, that the word becomes living and real. How that in a great proving or proof or experience of stress, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This word liberality means simplicity, and in the context here it just simply means that they were willing to live their life simply. They were willing to live on a need basis, that they weren't overly concerned about their finances, but they were willing to give And it is interesting to note that in modern, what's known as modern-day Greece, but back then was called Achaia, southern Greece, and then Macedonia being northern Greece, of that whole area at this time, there were two places that really were flourishing. One was a town called Patrae, which, as best my understanding, is not mentioned in the Bible, and the other being Corinth. Corinth was a very abundant, affluent city. It was a trade city. But in contrast to that were the churches of Macedonia, you know, like Philippi and Thessalonica. Those areas were not abundant. They were not areas, you know, of affluence. But yet, here, the churches of Macedonia are used as an example of abundant sharing to a city, to an area that was very affluent, the area of Achaia, and particularly the city of Corinth. But even in a deep or in a great trial of stress, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their simplicity, of their focus, of them giving to help the outreach of God's word. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know, they were so desirous to help, to see the word of God move, that they were willing, you know, to give their all. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, a wonderful section. We might as well read it here in light of the churches of Macedonia. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Another great section that reinforces the principles of giving and receiving in this administration. It says in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful or anxious, but you lacked opportunity. This is talking about giving and receiving. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content or to be self-adequate. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, Philippians 4:13 is a pretty famous verse of Scripture, a lot of people. Isn't it interesting to read it in context? It's in the context of finances, of material abundance. The Apostle Paul said that he was instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This word instructed is the verb form of the word that we've had before, mysterion, or mystery. And it means I have been initiated into a secret. I have been instructed. I have learned a secret of finances, and that's that in whatever situation I'm in, whether it's an abundance or, you know, lacking, you know, very little, either way, that God meets my need. And boy, that is a tremendous secret to be initiated into. What a tremendous truth. And then it, as a result, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You know, these weren't rich people. It wasn't because they were, you know, just dripping with money. But they were concerned about the outreach of God's word. They wanted to do God's will, and they were the ones that were communicating with Paul concerning giving and receiving, them only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, that was the motivation of the Apostle Paul, to encourage the believers to abundantly share, not because he, you know, needed the money, not because he desired a gift, He had been initiated into a great secret, and that secret was that God would take care of him regardless of the circumstances. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus all things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a great context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Great promise of God that says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What's the context of those great verses? It's a wonderful church, the Church of Macedonia, that operated the principles of giving and receiving, abundant sharing. They were faithful, even though they weren't wealthy people, like many at Corinth would have been. They were the ones who lived simply and who faithfully, abundantly shared. Verse 5, it says, and this they did, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It wasn't just their finances that they were willing to share. They were willing to share their own lives, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace or the same giving also. So Titus had come after Paul had left Corinth. He had reminded them of the abundant sharing, but he never collected it. Remember the instructions that were given at the end of 1 Corinthians? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians just to refresh our memories. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says in verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality. This is that same word, grace. Your grace unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So Paul had given instruction about their abundant sharing, that they were to do it systematically, that they weren't to wait for him to come, but they were to lay it in store the beginning of every week. And then when he came, and he was planning to come, that there would be a collection, and it would be taken to the leadership of the church at Jerusalem. And then as you read in the book of Acts, it was the leadership of Jerusalem's responsibility then to distribute it for the outreach of God's word, and to bless and help with the needs of the saints. So Titus had come. He had evidently reminded them of what Paul had written, but he didn't make the collection. So getting back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says again in verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace, the same abundant sharing also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in believing, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace, this giving, this abundant sharing also. You know, these other things certainly had been reproved in 1 Corinthians. They also had been commended throughout 2 Corinthians, if you see, because they had made needed changes. But it says, hey, look, as you know, you're abounding in believing and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, now also abound in giving and receiving. You know, so much of the heart of 2 Corinthians is to restore fully the believers at the church at Corinth. They had received stern reproof. They'd been given instructions. Many of them had responded. As we saw in the last chapter, Titus came back and gave a wonderful report to Paul about their response, and so they were commended. Here again, they're being commended. But this is to help them get back to living in light of the hope, to living their lives simply, to the outreach of God's word, and part of that is to get them back on sound financial ground by operating the principles of giving and receiving. I speak, verse 8, not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your, what? Love. This I speak not by commandment is very similar to what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the difference between permission, where obedience is recommended, and commandment, where obedience is demanded or obedience is commanded. He said, I'm not speaking by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, like the believers in Macedonia, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, God says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there not shall not be room enough to receive it. And that was when they would tithe. Here, abundant sharing is called the proof of the sincerity of your love. You know, it's putting into action the word of God. It's believing God in the financial realm. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be, what? Rich. Now, this is fantastic. This is talking about Jesus Christ's service to all of us, his service to mankind. And it's that context in which he became poor. Keep your finger here, and let's go to Philippians chapter 2. It says in verse 5, let this mind or let these thoughts be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. How was Jesus Christ in the form of God? It's not that he was God, but he was the Son of God. Who being in the form of God, he was God's Son, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is not a very good translation. Jesus Christ did not use his position of being God's Son to usurp God's authority. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this is what's referred to back in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, that ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, which was described in Philippians chapter 2 as being in the form of God, being God's only begotten Son, yet for your sake he became poor. He humbled himself. He became a servant. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross, that ye through his poverty, through his service, through his obedience, might be rich. Boy, we sure are enriched, aren't we? Because of Jesus Christ's service, because of his obedience, because of him, you know, not usurping God's authority, but being obedient and carrying out the will of God even to the death of the cross. As a result, we've been enriched with all spiritual blessings. And herein, verse 10, I give my advice, for it is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, this is interesting because 2 Corinthians was written less than a year after they had received 1 Corinthians. In fact, it's very likely that 1 Corinthians was written in the springtime and that this 2 Corinthians was written before the end of that particular calendar year, at least according to our calendar. But what is in reference here, when it says a year ago, it's not talking about 365 days. This really could be translated last year, and that's a good translation. Remember, using the Judean calendar, the year started in the fall. So this is after turn of the Judean year, and he's just saying last year. It wasn't a full year, but it was, you know, last spring they had been, it says that work had been begun, but they were forward, they were looking forward to doing it a year ago, but it hadn't been carried out yet. Titus had visited him, and for whatever reason, he hadn't collected the abundant sharing. Maybe he didn't have instructions to. Maybe they didn't want to. We don't know. I've heard people teach that Titus forgot to receive the abundant sharing. I don't know about that, but whatever reason, he didn't. But God wants them, Paul is writing to them, for them to carry out what they were forward to do last year. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Remember in 1 Corinthians 16, it says that they were to lay in store as God has prospered them. Well, here it says, also out of which ye have. You can't give that which you don't got. But they did have, and it was for their well-being, that fruit may abound to their account, and it was to the well-being of the church, to supply needs within the church, that they would abundantly share. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know, again, you know, you have to be able to give. There's a wonderful verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a second. I was thinking about this in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that what needeth. You can't give what you don't have, and for you to have, you got to work. That's what it says. So here it's talking about, if any man, verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Remember, we're all part of the body of Christ. This is talking about equal contributions or a balance. If somebody has abundance, their abundance can be a supply for someone else's want. Someone else has abundance, that can be a supply for your want, that there be a balance, that there be equality in the body of Christ. Verse 15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Isn't that a wonderful thing of God supplying all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? The Apostle Paul wrote that he knew how to abound, and also how to suffer need. He knew how to handle life when things were scrimping by. He also knew how to handle life when things were prosperous. This is evidently a very difficult thing for believers to keep in balance. It's described in the parable of the sower and the seed, of how that after a while the cares and the riches of this world can come in and choke the word. That's abundance. Sometimes people, when they lack, you know, can forget about God and lose thankfulness to God and think that everything centers around their particular lack. But it says in verse 15 again, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care unto the heart of Titus for you. This word thanks here is also the word charis, which is translated grace in many other places throughout these two chapters. But here it's referring to thankfulness. That's part of the virtuous cycle, that what God has blessed you with, you return unto him, whether it be in finances, in abundant sharing, or whether it be heartfelt thanksgiving unto God. And boy, isn't this a great section for us to be reading as we are in, you know, the fourth week of November, right before our National Day of Thanksgiving here in the United States. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. You know, who this brother is, I don't know. He's not mentioned by name here, but Titus is returning to Corinth. And not that only, but who also was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, with this abundant sharing, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. You know, if people are going to operate giving and receiving, somebody's got to collect it. Somebody's got to administer it. The Word of God says that in the Old Testament, it was the responsibility of the Levites. In the New Testament, it was the apostles. It was the leadership of the church who were responsible for the administering of the abundant sharing. It says, verse 20 again, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. It's quite a responsibility for men of in positions of authority to handle the finances that really, according to the Word of God, are gifts not unto that man or that organization, but are gifts unto God. And the Apostle Paul made sure that he provided things honest, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men in the administering of this grace or of this giving and receiving. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So they're being sent back, Titus and this brother, to collect the abundant sharing that would then go to Jerusalem. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of God. This word messengers is the same word as the word apostles. They are the apostles of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Verse 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So this is a pretty strong recommendation from the Apostle Paul. Strong advice being given for them to operate the principles of giving and receiving. They had been instructed back earlier in that year, back in the springtime, to faithfully lay in store and collect their abundant sharing, their abundance at the beginning of each week. Titus had come. He now had brought a report back to Paul, and Paul now has written 2 Corinthians, which is going back to Corinthians with the instruction for them to perform that which they had promised to do. You know, this is part of the restoration of the believers in the church at Corinth, to get them back into fellowship consistently and faithfully with God. You know, a big part of our partnership with God is in our finances. It's the way, as it says here, It's proof of your love. Earlier it was called proof of your sincerity. It's an act of believing in the financial realm where you share with God of that which he has graced you with, where out of a heart of thanksgiving you give back to God. Now this context continues, of course, into 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which we'll look at in our next session.